Small Studio is made possible by a grant from the Herbert Simon Family Foundation and with support from Nido Art Shop and Sun King Brewery.
Yes. Thank you. That was awesome. Did you guys see that? That was amazing. I love you. This next song is awesome. This next song is incredible. This next song is about the greatest American president to ever live. This song is about Teddy Roosevelt. It's called Teddy Roosevelt Part 1.
It's a two-part biography, and he hasn't finished the second part.
It's true. So there could be a song called Teddy Roosevelt Part 2, maybe Part 3. I don't know. I haven't got to that far. This song is overwhelmingly positive about him. I hope he didn't mess up later in life or something. I haven't.
So it's not Teddy Roosevelt Part 2, The Retraction.
Could be. I reserve judgment. It unfolds like time does. I love you. This song is called Teddy Roosevelt Part 1. Also, shout out to NPR and their awesome coverage of the 100th anniversary of our Parks Department, because that was Teddy. But Victoria found out it was also kind of Benjamin Harrison, Indiana's
own. Yeah, Benjamin
own.
Harrison started all that stuff, and Teddy just kind of picked up where he left off. Look it up,
he
man.
He completed it.
Ben Harrison's pretty rad.
Yes,
should
he
be
is.
Proud. I'm not an Indiana native, so I can say that.
We have one more song. The song is about my hypothetical friend named Tina. It's called Hey Tina, in parentheses, pick up the phone. Have you ever had just a really bad week? It's like the worst week ever. But you have a friend, I don't know, let's call her Tina, hypothetically. And you know for a fact she is at an even worse week than you. But it happens to be Friday. And you know, there's a party going on. And you want Tina to go with you to this. She will not answer her phone. So you have to go to her house, yell up at her window, and say, "Hey, Tina, pick up the phone." That's what this song is about. I love you.
And now an interview with Andy D and Anna Vision from WFYI's Jill Dittmeyer.
Well, tell me first where you guys are from. Where'd you grow up and where'd you go to school?
I'm originally from Greenwood on the south side of Indianapolis, and I went to Greenwood High School and then moved to New York and went to NYU for college. And that's where I met Victoria.
Okay. And I'm from Omaha, Nebraska, also moved to New York. Also went to NYU, but for grad school, so a little later than Andy. And we came back here so that I could do a library science program in Bloomington. So we moved back here about 6 years ago, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you guys study at NYU?
I did anthropology and religious studies.
I studied literature, focusing on the history of the book.
Okay. So anthropology, religion, books.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And now... music. How did you get from there to here?
Well, I think our education actually does inform a lot of our songwriting, but it was just something right after college. I was like, you know what? You know, you have this like graduate like crisis, quarter life crisis or something, and it's like, okay, well, I should figure out what I want to do. It's like, well, I don't think I can pursue music later in life successfully. So maybe let's try that now, and then I can do all the other stuff that I was planning on doing. down the road. So I just kind of started making music, started doing shows. And then when we moved back to Indiana was when I really kind of, you know, made a promise to myself that we'd do a proper tour before I really, you know, moved on to anything else. So,
and when I was graduating into not the best, you know, market, we had the opportunity to tour, you know, the country and then eventually internationally. And actually most of the people that I knew, like the library folks, were actually pushing me to do it. Like, do this now, you know, while you can. It'll be a great experience, you know.
Yeah.
So
tell me how you put your act together.
So it's called Andy D because I started about 3 years before I convinced her to join. So right now it's kind of my name and also a band. unfortunately, I guess if we were planning this in a non-organic way, then we probably would have changed something there. But it is what it is. And I just, you know, I was in New York. I had some friends in the electroclash scene of the early aughts. It was kind of a this kind of like atavistic, you know, kind of revival of, you know, Miami bass sounds and like Latin freestyle and just kind of like minimalist electro with some like, you know, funny rapping or raunchy rapping or, you know, a lot of like gay guys pretending to be straight and rapping about girls and picking up girls and like raunchy girl duos. And I had some friends in a band called Avenue D, and I was like, you know, I really love what you guys are doing. I want to write a song for you. So I wrote a song and gave it to them, and they're like, you know, this really isn't our style, but it's really good, so you should do it. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'll do it. So I kind of put three songs together and with my producer back then, and we got a show booked that Avenue D gave us and played those three songs, you know, all 10 minutes of music that I had. And Victoria was actually there, and we met on our second show ever because we actually, through quite different channels, she was also friends with Avenue D, so kind of had mutual friends and met at my second show ever. So,
if someone has never seen your show or heard your music, how would you describe it? What would they, if they suddenly walked into your show, what are they going to see and what are they going to hear?
That's a good question. A lot of people, you know, have trouble describing what we do. They just say, you just have to see it. You know, you just have to watch the video. You just have to come to the show.
I feel like with any musical act, there's sort of two different camps, right? There's the camp where you watch people to see their musicianship and sort of see them perform, you know, their music well. And then some people, with some acts, it's more of about the relationship with the audience, and sort of it's more of an experience or an interchange between the musician or musicians and the audience. And we're sort of more in the latter camp, so it's more of an experience. You know, it's more about getting people to laugh and dance and have a good time than necessarily showing that we can, you know, play instruments well.
Yeah, you know, it was one of those things where coming up in the electroclash scene, it was kind of like, well, you know, these are people, it was called Just Push Play Music. Like, it would people, they'd bring their CD and they just rap over it and it'd be like, you know, this, you know. So I kind of got the ethos there that was like, okay, well, you know, we played this once, you know, we play all the instruments, we play it once. We don't have to faithfully reproduce it every time and take great pains to play all the instruments again. We'll just have the robot do it and we'll, you know, use our energy to like, you know, yeah, give a good kinetic performance. So it's usually about me dancing, you know, with the audience, with Victoria, us singing, our interchange, you know, audience participation, crowd interaction, getting people to laugh, getting people to dance,
it's very New York, because in New York, it's it was more about grabbing people immediately. Like, you might have a very short set at 1, you know, 1 a.m. between DJs or like drag acts or something.
Yeah.
It was more about just different types of performance. So yeah, you might go after someone who lip syncs.
Yeah.
It's just about what you can bring artistically. I guess more of a focus on performance art than just musicianship.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where we came from.
But there's also that element that you know, even reached Indiana in the late 80s, early 90s with the, you know, kind of just, yeah, like Latin freestyle was in pop music and, you know, early or, you know, that kind of era of hip hop. You had like Salt and Peppa and like Kid and Play and like really like bright colors, you know, kind of like positive hip hop and like, you know, Afrocentric hip hop, just bright colors, asymmetrical hairstyles. Everything was big and bright. And just kind of that peacocking that was kind of lost at grunge. And I wanted to, like, bring that back a little bit and just, like, hey, let's just – I'm going to just wear what I wanted to wear when I was, like, 8 years old and see how people react to that. And I've reacted pretty positively, actually. So,
after touring across the country and internationally as well, what parts of your act have you changed or enhanced, or is it the same?
Oh, it's been pretty refined, pretty organically, but lately we have added drums, Victoria playing drums.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the, I don't know, we don't really have choreography, but there is some stuff that's, you know, some interplay that we kind of do every time we do a song, just like moments, you know, that we kind of instinctively know to look at each other, or, you know, share a moment, I think.
Well, and now that we're a little bit more grounded in Indianapolis, we're able to do more, you know, when we're when we go abroad, we try to take as little as possible, and it's more about grabbing everybody with, you know, we know what songs grab people, and there's also a little bit of like the American element, like people think it's funny, they have sort of a different perspective on why it's funny,
right?
And we try to play into that, but now that we're grounded here a bit more, we can start playing around, like we'll take old songs that we've been playing the same way and I can, you know, throw drums in there, or we'll try to do something different. We've been playing with other musicians a little bit more because we started we're involved with Tonic Ball now, so
right,
you can sort of experiment more, whereas when you're on the road you feel like you sort of have to like give people what they're asking for.
Yeah, and also keep it tight and efficient, you know. We did this full-time for 3 years, and you know, we were able to make a living basically by keeping our overhead loaves, the two of us in a hatchback, staying on friends, you know, couches, and sometimes new friends that we hadn't met before that night. And yeah, just keeping the, you know, the chemistry between us and the audience, the focus of the show, to kind of really bring people into the moment and the experience.
I hear there's a lot of curse words in it, though.
Yes, that's true. That is true. Some of them are just used as rhythmic devices too, you know. Sometimes it just happens. But yeah, I mean, we're definitely raunchy. I think, you know, but then there are whole songs that have, you know, no curse words in it whatsoever. So it's not none of it's gratuitous. It's always thought out and purposeful and, you know, calculated for a specific effect. But you know, it's also, you know, as someone who loves language and you know, loves words, I don't want to ostracize any of them, even if they have a negative social connotation or bad reputation.
Well, it's interesting because we're really big Prince fans, and of course, you know, with him dying and everything, people are talking, like, sort of revisiting his career a lot. And he's interesting because he had periods where he cursed and periods where he wouldn't even play the songs that had curse words in it.
Yeah.
Some, you know, where he'd be raunchy or less raunchy. And it's interesting to be able to play with both.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, tension in, you know, the American history and, you know, zeitgeist now of, you know, that our puritanical past, you know. So it's fun to, like, push those boundaries and, you know, mess with those taboos. And Prince did it a lot. I think every, you know, rock and roll's always done it. Hip-hop's always done it. I mean, every relative art form, you know, at the time has messed with those taboos. So it only makes sense.
What makes you guys laugh?
Oh, man.
I don't know. What does make me laugh?
Each other. We always crack each other up. I don't know. What are some? We have some go-to movies that we watch. What do you think?
I don't know. I definitely like British humor.
Yeah,
like I'm
a
big Ab Fab fan.
That's true.
I think women are funny.
We like John Waters movies. Yeah, I mean, there's some really great, you know, comedians killing it now.
But you've got to be good at crafting your lyrics and how you do what you do to actually make people laugh. It's not just being completely ridiculous. Like, It's more, I think people actually laugh at Andy more because it's good. If I can talk from a distance a bit, because, you know, he did kind of talk me into doing this. You know, like I originally was like, I'm going to school, you can do this music thing, and I'll sing occasionally or whatever. And he sort of slowly, you know, like almost without me even realizing it, brought me into the band. But the times when people laugh the most are actually when he has lines that are really, really good. Like, the big one in Angels is, I like my movies like I like my women, short, low budget, and independent. I like my films like I like my ladies, funny, action-packed, and made in the 80s. And people more are laughing because they're like, wow, that is a really great turn of phrase. You know, so it's really not so out there or silly, really.
Yeah.
I think it's more just that people are surprised.
It's like I feel like I've used this before, but I'm a musician who uses humor to kind of get a point across rather than a like musical comedy. And I like musical comedy. I just don't think I'm naturally inclined toward that. I'm more on the musical side that happens to use humor, more like a humorist than a musical comedian. I mean, I love musical comedy. Garfunkel and Oates, they kill it. You know, the Flight of the Conchords was really hilarious, you know, and that stuff is very, you know, it takes a lot of talent and to keep the punchlines going that much is great. But hip hop's always been about, or just all kinds of rapping has been about setup and punchline. Even rock and roll, I think, has, you know, punchlines in it and really funny turns of phrases. So I've just always been into that, you know, and really what makes me laugh is absurdity. And I was like, you know what, I think with this music, I'm going to try and, you know, be kind of self-consciously absurd, you know, like absurd, but also self-aware, just to see if that's possible, if people can just like not dismiss it as clownish behavior or, you know, jaded irony or, you know, whatever else people kind of, you know, I want to challenge those kind of, you know, I don't know, just lazy Gen X notions of what a guy with a rat tail and a mustache and, you know, a unicorn on his shirt and brightly colored pants rapping could mean, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that we hear the most after shows is, I love that because wasn't what I was expecting. And so that kind of goes back to what I was saying. Like, the things that are the funniest are jokes where you don't quite know where, that you didn't expect them to go where they're going to go.
Right.
And that's kind of what, I guess, our performance is.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. That's what we try for.
How long can you keep doing this?
Oh, man. I don't know. That's a good question.
That's a big question now. Yeah. Because, yeah, we toured. We did over 150 shows a year for 3 years straight.
Yeah.
And we, you know, we went to Europe. And at some point, you're spinning your wheels a little bit. And so it's like, you know, what do you do next?
Well, you feel like you're spinning your wheels, or you feel like there's a plateau, and sometimes that can be like, you know, self-fulfilling. So we've done four albums. We're very proud of what we've done. I don't feel like we have much more to prove. So there's a freedom there, you know. So Victoria is exploring the drums, writing her own songs. I'm, you know, trying to go maybe some broader directions with music, but. I mean, we're still writing, we're still performing.
Well, and we've definitely seen, you know, so many bands form and break up in the time that we've been together, because it's been a long time at this point, really.
Yeah.
And so I guess at this point, it probably is more focusing on how we can expand what we are and what we do, which is why we're doing the web series. You know, like, what is, you know, music, you know, what forms can it take?
Yeah, and like what else can we show with this? Like, in our web series, we have some, you know, we have some yeah, comedic sketches. We also have like interviews with people we've met on the road and live performances of our friends and ourselves and weird animations, just, you know, like trying to expand it into other media and kind of to see what, you know, what other like modes of expression we really have. I'm definitely happy with the music we're still writing, and you know, I'm glad, you know, I would welcome a reinvention or something soon. Anything's possible. So I don't know,
a reinvention in what area, in what way?
I don't know. You know, it's hilarious because Dyant Word, who we really like from South Africa, we're going to see them next month here at Old National Center. they just announced that they're breaking up in a year, and it's like, well,
I think that was that. It, I think they said that, I think they said that was just something.
It could be a troll, but he's also.
No,
he's
I don't even think they said it was. I think they said it was like a misquote or something.
Oh, okay, like. Never mind then. I thought it'd be. I thought that was cool to just announce a year before that you're gonna break up. He's had other projects though too, like Max Normal. It's like,
yeah,
you know, people can just do. I pretty much named myself Andy D because it's my name, so it's just kind of. I just left it there so like, hey, if I establish myself as this. And I put certain songs on my first album, then it kind of like broadens what people expect down the road. So I have like a song on my first album that's like only guitar, drum and bass and a little synth. And it's like, it just sounds like a love song, you know, just like a kind of a post-punk love song. And so like, while I have that on my first album, I can always go back to that, you know, kind of just try to broaden what people could expect of an Andy D record. So I kind of planted those seeds early on, and you know, I want to leave myself as open as possible to do whatever it feels like I want to do, because I think it's really sad when artists who are supposed to be the people that, you know, kind of push the bounds of human expression are kind of like playing to genre or limiting themselves by what they've done in the past. It doesn't make sense to me to have expectations of artists and then to like. And I'm not using this in a rarefied term. Like, I think everyone's an artist, but I don't think people should limit their creativity to what they've done before or what people think, yeah, or they expect of them or something. It's like, yeah, I've worn the, you know, I've had the mustache and the rat tail, and because I happen to like those, if I cut them off one day, you know, it doesn't make me less Andy D or whatever. You know, just, you know, it would just be another way. You know, and musically, the same thing. If I just happen to go another direction, or you know, with the web series, or just try a different medium, it'll still be me. I just want to give myself as much freedom as possible, I guess.
The web series, how do people see that, and what's the future with it?
Sure. So you may know Oreo Jones. He just came out with or is in the middle of the second season of Let's Do Lunch. We were on the first season of it as a guest. It was really fun. And the same people who produce that and distribute it are doing our web series as well. And it's a variety show. And the website's called noiseporn.com. Our show is called the Electric Wilderness Variety Show, but variety is spelled V-A-R-I-E-D, because my name's Andy D, so...
And you can also see it on Roku. They have a channel, Noiseporn does on Roku. So.
Yeah, exactly. And that's coming out September 26th. So we're having the, we have the Tube Factory opening our, you know, kind of premiere party the 25th of September. And it'll come out in October as well, the second episode. So we're going to do an episode a month. So look at the end of October for episode 2 and November, so on. And we're doing 2 seasons of it, so.
And it kind of started out as it was supposed to just be a reality show, mainly yeah. Because they thought that it would be too expensive to do anything else. And so I pitched it. I was like, okay, let's do the reality show. And then basically just set about using the budget to try to to also, you know, put in some animation and, like, other sketches and stuff. It's like, well, let's see what we can do with this money beyond just the... just, you know, filming us at shows and stuff, which is fun, but you know, I wanted it to be a true variety show with lots of different stuff, a little bit inspired by like Sonny and Cher. So it'll start out with like you know, little animated bits of he and I bantering and that kind of thing. So I think it turned out really well.
Yeah.
I think we did a lot with a little, you know.
Yeah, that's true. We definitely stretched many dimes into dollars. So and yeah, we're really happy with it. And you know, it's not just like there is humor in it, but again, there's also we wanted it to be part travelogue, kind of showing off, you know, showcasing cool people we've met on our travels that are doing really cool stuff in their scenes, you know, that in cities that are mid-sized, smaller, not, you know, not unlike Indianapolis, and you know, which is, you know, I think the internet's really democratized, you know, a lot of scenes. People aren't going to the magnet big cities, New York, LA, like we did when we were younger. So they're kind of, you know, hunkering down and making where they live cool places. And, you know, on tour, not only did we get to spread our music around to people who wanted to see it, we also got to see a lot of cities that, you know, we wanted to see that we maybe never would have been exposed to before. And we really just want to show people, you know, not only, you know, what we've been doing in Indianapolis and what Indianapolis has to offer, but kind of show Indianapolis and other people what these other cities have to offer and you know, the cool people that we met there, along with some sketches and some comedy and some animation and some other stuff we came up with. So,
does it help or hurt being husband and wife?
I think it helps, actually.
I think it does.
We've watched a lot of bands on the road, and I don't know, we already know how to communicate with each other. We definitely fare better than any of the bands that we've toured with in terms of, like, bickering and fighting and,
yeah,
you know.
Our little yellow hatchback is definitely a crucible, though, and it got very hot in there, and our relationship was definitely forged on another level in that tiny car across the nation.
I mean, there was 2 years where I don't think I wasn't apart from Andy for more than, like, a couple of hours.
Yeah.
I mean a couple of hours, like, you know, like he went to a movie without me or something. And not like, you know, an entire day of work like now. So I think we've probably spent more time together than couples that have been married for years and years, you know.
Yeah. I think it definitely accelerated our relationship probably.
How long have you been together and how long have you been married?
So we've been married, we got married in 2011, so going on, well, it's...
We're going into the fifth year. Six years.
No, it's fine.
And
because of how math works.
Yeah, and then 11 years of being together.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you could create your perfect show, your perfect setup, where would it be? What would the show look like? How would it be for you, and how would it be for the audience?
Oh, like a concert? Yeah. Oh, man. We have discussions about this all the time. Like, ooh, what if we did a festival, who would we have on it? And I definitely have, like, a long, long list of people I would hope to have at a festival. But
yeah, a festival would be fun. We're a little bit picky because we like a stage. We're not full punk rock. Like, we can't perform on the floor. I don't like that. Because people have to be able to see us. But then...
I'll get down on the floor. Sometimes.
Best part is, like, at the end, usually Andy will go out into the crowd. So it doesn't work so well. Sometimes in Europe and bigger places, they'll have, like, you know, a barrier and stuff, and it's hard. So it's got to be sort of like a mid-sized place.
Yeah.
I don't know. What else?
I don't know. Well, that's why I'm always thinking about people we want to play with, because so much of the cool stuff that we've done on tour has been just playing with people that we're fans of, you know? So
for you, it's more about who you'd be playing with.
Yeah, of course.
Such as?
Well, we toured Europe with Electric Six, so, and I was a huge Electric Six fan before. I finagled our way onto opening for them in Bloomington, and then subsequent tours. Harmar Superstar, he's a buddy of ours now too, that I also, or our tour, our booking agent actually got us on with. That was awesome. So they would definitely be my dream team at a show.
Yip Deceiver.
Yip Deceiver is awesome. They're members of Montreal. Of Montreal, of course, also.
It'd be cool to take them and then, like, a bunch of local people that we play with all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
To, like, the Netherlands, because the Netherlands are our favorite place to play.
That would be so cool. So there's this town in the Netherlands called Groningen, and it's like a college town in the northwest or northeast, and that is absolutely where this show would happen. So the ideal show, Groningen, Netherlands, Electric Six, us, Harmar Superstar, Yip Deceiver. I don't know, can we get MIA out there? Because she's awesome. Getting MIA out there. Get Avenue D back together,
and then, like, all our indie buds.
I'm
afraid to start listing them because I'll forget somebody.
Ghost Gun Summer,
but everybody we played with here.
You hit Ghost Gun Summer, you got six of them right there, so you don't have to say all their
Shotgun
names.
Shotgun Blast, we haven't forgotten
any
of them.
Exactly. But everything, yeah, everything happening.
Yeah, we had our friends just started a band called Wife Patrol. We could take them, and then, you know, what's David doing? Bullet Points.
Yeah, Bullet Points.
And then
Hunter Child from Bloomington.
Yeah, Hunter Child's good, and then we could we can show them the crazy Netherlands. They love Andy there.
What is it about the Netherlands?
I have no idea.
They just really, really love Andy. They don't care about me at all. They love Andy so much. They chant his name and they pick him up into the air.
It's so,
like,
weird.
You'll see a little bit of it on the web series. It's
you will.
Crazy.
Oh.
Like an Electric Six can vouch for us, because that's who we were playing with, Electric Six, and they were just like, God, like. Yeah, and they're, I mean, the Dutch are also just an amazing, very sweet people. But
they are, yeah.
for some reason, they really took to the
tallest
sky.
Place on Earth too. All these, they're all Vikings. They just, you know, I was like, what? You don't want to lift me in the air. That's like, I mean, you're all 7 feet tall. You're gonna, I mean, you lifting something in the air was like way higher than me lifting something in the air. You know what I mean? Like I'm like a full 2 or 3 feet more to fall if you were to drop me. So it was scary. It was, I'd never seen anything like it, but yeah, it was, it's, yeah, it's a happy place. It's a
So the future holds more music and the web series, at least for 2 seasons.
Yeah.
And there may be a reinvention.
Yeah, yeah, maybe. Or maybe this is part of the reinvention. We don't know. I don't know. An expansion.
Maybe we'll just be all animated from now on.
Yeah.
That's kind of my dream. I like doing stuff, but it's like, you know, they don't have to worry about like whether I've, you know, looked silly or, you know, forgot an eyelash or something. Just animate me and then that's it.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks. Good.